Commissioner Senator Fisher, Senator Sager present, Representative Boston, Representative Bettisworth are present, Representative Burnett is running a brief errand, and his paperwork is here, and he will be right back. Also, for the record, this is the 29th public meeting on this issue and this bill of this legislative, of this legislature. And with that, I will also note that there are people in the audience that would like to say a few words with the indulgence of the committee. You're going to have two members of the body testify. Senator Mulcahy is going to testify, and I've been notified that Representative Adams would like to testify on the gift section. So with the indulgence of the committee, Representative Adams is here. If Senator Mulcahy and Representative Adams would like to come up together and talk about this, you may, or separately, or whatever.
Is this being used?
Is this microphone being used?
Yes.
Yes, it is. For the record, Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, Bob Mulcahy, State Senator. I'd just like to address again to the committee, Mr. Chair, on the gift section, and the language in the two bills, the House version and the Senate version, compared to travel and hospitality. I think that everybody at the table is aware that taking my particular Senate district, for instance, you're looking at 54 units of doctors. Of those 54 communities, there's 7 of them who have some commercial lodging jobs. Even at this point, maybe like say 7 points, except the pay is close, so you're going to have to go into the house. Hospitality is an accepted thing. As for air travel, the air travel you might be an Anchorage or Fairbanks, you can get into a car and drive around the district and look at different problems, whether you work at schools or the airport or something. Obviously, looking at the districts like I represent, or districts north of me, or even districts down here in Southeastern, this is an impossibility. And you jump into an aircraft that is a cover of school, especially just like you jump into a vehicle in Anchorage. So, you go out and see what the problems are with the school, with an airport, or to the community, so that they're traveling by air. I find it, so I have a strong preference for the Senate language on this over the House. Besides answering questions, anybody might have them.
Please, gentlemen, it worked so well yesterday, I'm going to assume you did it today. Let's be rather informal. You need something to say, and no one else is going to say it.
Do you have the House bill in front of you, Anna?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to direct my attention to the question of the hospitality, which I'll come up with. If you look at page 6, lines 3 and 4 of the House version of the bill, is there any problem with that language in addressing the question of hospitality?
Just hold that language, but if you go back to page 5 and look at line 26, and under circumstances which it may reasonably be inferred that this, any of these column actions might be to influence my duty down here, what I'm doing down here, obviously they are. I'm there to be influenced, to be shown. And I might even be over to your house and going through Anchorage, and we may discuss something that's going on in the legislature where it was basically a close run. So I think that when it's back to page 5, line 26, and then ties it into lines 3 and 4, it gives me some real hiccups.
If you'll reread this, I think you'll see that the language of lines 3 and 4, page 6, are a total exclusion from the language on page 5. That is, the reasonably inferred language does not apply in any situation to this providing a hospitality. You're excluded completely from that circumstances in which it may be reasonably inferred language. Let's put it another way. Hospitality in lines 3 and 4 is never a conflict. That's under the House. So I guess we're agreeing in principle, what I'm suggesting is the House Bill does address that.
Well,
in the way you want.
When it comes to the interpretation, I call it military, and it's really just what does this mean? There's some gray areas in his mind as far as the two that's there, and I guess I prefer to have something that even I read that don't see any gray areas, that it's just out there, and I see a gray area myself.
When you look at the yesterday, if you look at 080 and the Senate version, they're in the first one, where you see the phrase, if the gift was intended as a reward for official action, that's first. In the conversation we had, it seemed that was probably too limited because it would apply only to create a conflict of receiving a gift only as a reward for past action. Rather than as a substitute for future action. So in that regard, the House approach might be better. And then the Senate says that the gift of hospitality, entertaining information matters, but not so give it that question. And the House says it's not possible to give it. Certainly, it's not possible to give it. Actually, the House's language is somewhat less restrictive than the Senate's, because the Senate's language would prevent the gift of hospitality selected as an obtained information matter to the Senate. But the House did not put that condition on hospitality. The difference is that the House says it's not a conflict of interest, the Senate says the gift is not prohibited. But if the House language said it's not prohibited by this section, by Alex Hamilton and Paulus over there, or Sam, or King Cole. And I spend a couple of days at Alex's house and eat there. And obviously, as mayor of the city and president of the school board, we're going to be talking legislative business with both future and past, right? And this is often the case in most any place that I would visit for them. I don't think that this should be unethical for me to do. That's what I'm out there to do, and it's the only place. Not the only place, but I'm going to be seeing at somebody's home.
It occurs to me that we have two versions here, each of which has something to contribute. And I hope that in our discussion now we can just find out exactly what the issues are and then look towards a rewrite of the versions to bring them together, because the situation where there's something good and something unworkable in both of the issues, but they have both of the versions. So I'd be real interested in Senator McCabe that just finding out what the concerns are and what the concerns of Jefferson and Adams and Ferguson, and then we'll sit down and draft something that should be worth it.
I have no trouble with that, but the way I heard Senator McCabe, he's very comfortable with the Senate language.
I have no problem.
I think I understand the issue of air transportation, but I just want to ask what the facts are. What happens is that you're living in Kodiak and you need to fly to Tonawanda or wherever, and you have a friend who runs an air carrier service and does it for free. Is that the situation?
Well,
just describe what it is.
I will probably go to Alaska on my own resources or get to Alaska. But when I'm in Alaska, and somebody wants me to go over to Akatan and has an airplane there, AirPax is there, they bought something over to Akatan that I didn't plan on spending the
$300 or $400 to go to Academy. Bob was, we want to show you the ramp over at Academy, and we want you to see the school at Academy. And we're going over this section, and why don't you come off? And then if I in violation jumping into that airplane, or I'm down there to Mac Mac and King Salmon, and visiting with ONC with the government in play there. Well, we got a real problem with that airport down there. State airport, as it was this moment, talk, and I want you to see it. I got a flight going down there in half an hour. Why don't you ride down with me and take a look at it while you're over here at King Salmon, so you know the problem, and when you're working with DOT, you get on. Well, then, obviously, I'll get in the airplane, and if you go down to 80, you can take a look at the problems with this soft runway. And he's providing the transportation for me to get down there.
Are you searching these out, or the case you're talking?
It's a little bit both ways. I'll be out in the standpoint of the Lake Clark Ileana area, which is up there. And I'll let the school district know I'm going to be out in the village. They've got some problems they want me exposed to on out there. Yes, you can search that out. To travel my district, it takes a good firm month of time. And I've never figured out the price on the board room.
I'm not there.
My concern is with the House bill, the Senate bill is okay, but it's on page number 6 again, line number 4, is with transportation. In my particular district, I can take care of water transportation during the summer times, but that water freezes in October, so then I have to rely on air. What I would propose is that in the rural areas, that we also include air transportation on. Groundwater or air transportation, and I'm asking that air transportation be included in this. And my reason is because Mother Nature. So that's all I'm asking.
But the Senate language you can live with, it takes care of all these problems. Yes. If we accept the House language, you need some changes in the House language.
Yes, ma'am.
But the Senate language, again, you can live with.
The Senate version I can live with, the House version we need to fly water and air.
Any questions for Representative Walton?
Well, I guess not a direct question. I should say I took the conference. Now that I've heard the testimony, I'm agreeing with the problem. It's kind of my visual
Senator Fisher?
I'm sure just for clarification and context of the discussion, why did the House
Thank you.
and there was a concern that that you have a case of somebody saying, I want you to fly at my expense to San Diego so we can chat, you know, and while you're here you can enjoy the beach. The other situation is flying within the district to get information or incentive case to see something that affects the district. I think that's how this all evolved, where we got to the center language of obtaining information on matters of legislative concern, so that we eliminated the junket that committed any bigger issues.
Then there's a gray area that a person may have personal relationships with someone who also has interest in legislation. Let's say you're a member of a profession, and this profession has bills before the legislature, and you're going out with a person that you've known and been a friend for a long time, but that is, let's say, a major, well, let's use a bank for example. Let's say you've been in banking, and banks have legislation, it's very common occurrence. A great many of your friends are in question in banking, and let's assume that you go out with the president of the local bank, who you've known for many years and worked with. Is this the social situation, or is it a situation that may be reasonably inferred that you're attempting to influence legislation? There's that inevitable gray area that we'll get into that kind of situation. The Senate language, of course, uses an intent element. In other words, there must be an intent to influence legislation. And that intent would, of course, be proven just as any other or before the committee. It would be susceptible to both objective proof of the same method that intent is proven in other matters where intent is important. In other words, you do not have to go into the man's mind to prove intent by the objective indicia and the inference drawn from that action. So there are some problems with either, but the intent problems, proving intent problems, is
not think the legal stipper is specifically from question of intent in any kind of case that we have to prove.
Well, how come he came up with liking the Senate language and saying it does the trick for him?
Well, the Senate language, you do not have that gray area.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it.
The gray area does not exist. What you've got is the Senate language is there is a different element to prove that the intent must be there. And then it doesn't matter where it's framed, what it is.
All right. Representative Klein.
But let me ask you, one part of Senator Mulcahy's testimony is concerned about hospitality staying from the president. In the House version, now if this is correct, in the House version, there's no gray area there. It is absolutely excluded. It is absolutely ethical.
Yeah, the hospitality and another president.
Right. So there's no gray area with regard to hospitality. There is with regard to air transportation.
Well, no. The hospitality I'm thinking of was what place you think somebody got yet that night. And at the whole of the gray area that I should have made that
you make your motion.
What does the House language mean intended to influence?
Well, wait a second, let Billy, you want to.
I'd rather have a formal legal opinion than an informal.
Okay, then Senator, then of course, President Foster's lost before, and then Senator Jones.
He's better off than.
As I read this, the difference between the Senate and the House version is,
they give you Senator Fisher's case in the form of the voter protection your way.
If he in fact votes that way, he's violated the Senate language. If, however, he doesn't, then you would have violated the House but not the Senate.
In other words, if I accept a bribe and then don't live up to their hope, that's legal.
Right.
I'm just saying it for.
Right.
Wow.
You?
Senator Jones.
I understand. If the word reward relates to prior action, a senator or representative could go to a lobby and say, your bill is on the floor tomorrow. I would like to have a check for $5,000 a day, and that would not be improper under the section because it would not be a reward for transaction. That obviously is inadequate.
You can't do that under current statute.
I'm talking about in terms of the statute. In terms of the statute. It does not create a consequence of this chapter to do that.
I would think not. I don't think the reward should be prospective as well as reckless.
Do you disagree with me?
Payment in advance or payment afterwards.
Madam Chair, I might dislike him as a good senator. If you went to this person and said, give me $5,000 and I'll vote for the bill, then you go and vote for the bill. You're illegal under this section to have a conflict of interest.
Of course,
if then renege, if you renege and vote against that bill after accepting the $5,000, you're okay.
Yes, but then the state statutes on bribery get you.
If I accept Mr. Benson, if I accept Mr. Ferrier's interpretation, then I can support the Senate version.
Very good.
But wait a minute, I'm not finished yet. But I think it's unclear, with all respect to you, Phil, I think that it could be read to refer to rewards for prior action, that we need to rewrite that section to talk about reward or induce in the case of the
Representative Fox,
from the testimony we've received, it appears that the primary objection to the House language is that it doesn't recognize the hospitality and transportation problem. It seems to me that that could be fairly easily remedied on page 6 by revision of subparagraph B1. Some manner, we could build that, maybe we agree and we get the number of hours three times in the geographic deal, but basically to say that any transportation, air, water, or ground in the state of Alaska would be the provision of that transportation, would not be a conflict of interest. That would be an amendment that I would be inclined to support.
Even though we could fix page 6, if the language is intended to reward for official action by the person, that it's got some personal bill drafter on it, so you've got the drafter in your case.
We have to get permission.
Well, we have to get permission, but you do have our drafter here, so.
Well, all I'm suggesting is that with regard to that exclusion, we could solve, I think, the rural problem very easily.
But the testimony I heard from the rural legislators was they like the Senate language and they can live with the Senate language as is, and I'm wondering if we can fix it any better than we've already fixed it. And if they can live with it, then what are we fixing? Except for a debate between two attorneys at this table.
The specific concern of those people was with regard to the hospitality and transportation questions. Those can be solved in the context of the House language.
Let's see how, I'd like to make a motion. We'll see where we are and then we'll move on if we can. I move that we accept the Senate language in 080. Any objections? Okay, fine.
I'll try.
Yes, Senator Josephson?
I move that we request free conference powers using the Senate section amending it as follows, inserting after the word reward, the words for inducement, and after the word hospitality in line 22 within Alaska.
This is strictly the Senate version.
The motion?
The Alaska.
After travel and hospitality within Alaska.
We have a motion before the conference committee to accept the Senate language to, first of all, number one, go to our prospective houses, ask for limited powers of free conference to insert the following words. If the gift was intended as a reward or inducement for an official action by the person, period, a gift of travel and hospitality within Alaska, insert. Received by a member of the legislature and obtaining information on matters of legislative concern, etc. Any objections to that?
Object for a couple of questions.
All right, there's been an objection. Go ahead, Senator.
One of the items to be held out was the $100 question. Did your amendment resolve that by opting for the senator?
All right.
Right, and we held that question as well yesterday. Does your move to accept the Senate version of 080, that would say that you want the Senate version of the $100 question?
Well, the Senate version does not have a floor.
It's hard to get a piece of meal for it.
The difference is you can't solicit any gift in the House version.
Neither can you
accept the gift.
How do you determine if you're soliciting or unsolicited?
But that part is the same in both bills. You may not solicit in either bill, but in the House, you can accept gifts up to $100. In the Senate, you can't solicit anything.
Except
receive directly or indirectly.
Except in the process of obtaining information.
But my specific question is, your motion intended to incorporate the Senate language on that question. My second question is to Mr. Barrier, if I can. Is inducement, the question has come up here, what happens if you don't do what they want you to do, what they paid you to do? The language on the Senate version on line 21 and official action. If there is an inducement, I think Senator Josephson's intent is to solve this problem. If they give you $5,000 for your vote and you don't vote the way they want,
that was
still been an inducement, and therefore a violation.
That's the way I'm.
Obviously, I say, if someone invites a legislator to dinner at the latch string and there's no other relationship, and they're talking about legislation, it's to induce favorable result from that legislator. I assume that because, though, it's a communication of legislative information or information on that legislative concern, that is not regular.
I would just assume that is not.
I just want to say that for the record.
Question. Could you state that again, please?
Well, literally speaking, every time that a constituent or lobbyist with whom you have no other personal relationship says, Bob, let's have dinner at the Baranoff tonight, and you go to that, the intention is probably to induce you to do something. Representative.
Mm-hmm.
just stop at the end of that first sentence, that would be prohibited. But because you are obtaining his hospitality within the state, and you are obtaining information, it would not be prohibited.
I would suggest difficulty of enforcing the difference between those two. Can we take a break?
Sure.
You set somebody up there.
Let's recess for just a couple minutes, please.
Just a question to the Senate side. If the House wants to add in the Senate version after the word a gift on line 19, the words in excess of $100, would that be a problem on the Senate side?
Yes. In this respect, my problem isn't with that in terms of accepting or receiving, but we do not favor, I do not favor soliciting gifts of $99. You'd have to, it would be a little more complicated than that.
We felt strongly it was a public reception problem, too. In fact, when we discussed this, the $100, we had the $100 in our bill for a long time. And the public sentiment made hay with that. I remember one headline. It's okay for legislators to accept a bribe of $99, or $99.99. And how many of these can you accept? And Senator Kelly came up with a couple of scenarios that he could accept 10 or 11 $99 gifts that amounted up to a lot of money by the end of the year. And after all of that, and after being hit with it a couple of times, we just decided to eliminate it. And then we talked about having, because he came up with a real clear scenario of how many times you could get $99. And then it was a sham. And then we got hit in the press with it. So we dropped it, which is why we got it.
Realistically, though, I think there is a point to be made. You do have a situation where a person delivers the calendars or a pan or whatever. These things have to come through the mail. And there ought to be some small threshold by which you can accept within that range. Maybe $100 is too high. I don't know what that little state fair calendar thing costs, but I would imagine it's $20 or whatever. But realistically, we need to make some allowance for that. And I understand the potential public pressure, but it's an issue we need to still understand.
Wait, you need to know that I sent back my little calendar, and I think it cost me $1.48 to send it back. And I guess what we came up with is we decided we'd send those things back.
But how many people?
I don't know.
That still becomes cumbersome. Again, $100 may be too high. We may want to set a small limit to cover these little miscellaneous things that comes to the end.
Representative
Claxton?
I am inclined to support the Senate motion for one reason to get us going. Let me just, before I indicate that I am going to vote for it, let me express my one concern, which is the one I just briefly expressed, which is the difficulty in distinguishing between a lobbyist taking you to a $200 dinner as an inducement for official action versus a lobbyist taking you to dinner for $200 to give you information on matters of legislative concern. I would submit that that is an unenforceable distinction, and keep in mind, if your motion is adopted, this bill is adopted, one of those is going to be adopted. I think that's unenforceable. We may have to work on that. But having said that, I think that's probably closer to the solution than anything we've seen so far.
I guess I'm being stubborn on the Senate language, having lived through with the rural legislators, and to reach the compromise with them on this language was hard fought. And they could not support the bill until they were satisfied with this. They could live with anything else. They didn't care if they got a contract, they didn't care if they got a loan, nothing. But this was such a real problem for them that they breathed a sigh of relief on our side when this language was written for them. And I guess I feel a commitment to hold to it as long as I possibly can. And so that's where I'm at.
I suppose, Madam Chairman, what a legislator would want to do if this becomes law is one of two things. If you have a social dinner in which you don't earn anything, you pay your part of the bill. And if you
did learn something, you write a thank you note the next morning saying, thank you for the life of the evening, which I learned so much.
I have a lobbyist friend who's a personal friend who was my next door neighbor for 5 years while I was a civilian. And then all of a sudden, I was in the legislature, he was a lobbyist and I was a legislator. I paid for my lunches. While I was a civilian, I let him pay every once in a while. And now, boy, I'm just real careful about it. Because our relationship is different.
Senator. I'd like to vote on Senator Josephson's.
Thank you. Call for the question? The motion is on 080 under gifts that we accept, that we first of all go to our prospective leadership, and the chair will be happy to prepare that memo for the House side, asking for limited powers of free conference on section 080 in order to add the phraseology after the word reward on line 21 for inducement, and on line 22 after the word hospitality within Alaska. Are there objections to that?
One objection, Madam Chairman. I think we still need to put a threshold on that.
All right, you are objecting?
Yes.
Okay, any other objections? Passed. Okay, we will do that. I will prepare that language for our respective leadership. Now we go to 090, nepotism. Okay, now what we did, Mr. Barrier, will you talk about nepotism, please, between the two versions, and then I'll tell you my grand scheme here for your
Well, I think, Madam Chairman,
yes,
that's fairly well set out in section 10 of these notes, but the House substituted a relative of an individual who is related to, which is simply clarified. It appears that the House version is actually preferable, but that's a really clarification point.
If I may discuss my problem with this section in both the Senate and the House version, and I guess I'm asking the committee to look at limited powers of free conference on this. Having talked to a couple of staffers who are spouses, I'm beginning to think that this section is anti-family and anti-spouse, because the wife, and I'm going to use wife just for clarification now, who is working in another part of the state, whose husband or vice versa becomes a legislator, they either come down as a family unit, and she doesn't work, if she can find a job somewhere in Juneau, that's fine, but we prohibited her from working in the legislature. Usually they can't find a temporary job for what's going to be 120 days out in the private sector. We won't let them work in the legislature at all. Then they choose to stay home, and I think that's not a good idea either. So I'm really wearing my conservative family hat here and asking the committee to consider allowing session employees that there be nepotism allowed for session employees, but that none for permanent employees, so that a legislator who has a spouse or a son or daughter who wants to work for them during the legislative session may. They have to fight that with their own constituents. Whether they pay their son or daughter or husband or wife to work for them, that's a constituent and legislature problem as far as I'm concerned. But at least we've given the family unit, the wife that works at home, come down here, and maybe they're the very best person in that office. We prohibited that, and I'd like the committee's discussion on opening that up. The permanent employee would be restricted. They could not work on a permanent basis. And we could even go so far as restricted to a range 14, for instance. So all they would get is the secretary status, the lowest level, to get them in, and at least they'd be here earning some money and being with their family. Now, maybe that's sentimental, but I throw that out to the gentleman. President Fox. Yes.
Actually, no, I do.
I gave you this in advance, too.
I know.
Presumably, it would be a major rewrite, because then we have the language in here that says anybody that's related to an employee of the legislature may not be employed in the position over which the employee has supervisory authority. Presumably, that means the existing language, the legislator couldn't supervise his or her spouse. You would presumably be repealing that.
I may be being sentimental, but I throw
Well,
stuff.
I think you make a sound argument that nepotism is one of the most difficult parts. I advocated for deleting nepotism for this bill because it was a serious enough question on its own that it shouldn't bog down this bill. I certainly agree with you that the effect of a strong anti-nepotism or a nepotism rule is discriminatory largely against women and other members of the family.
We have
to deal with public perception.
We have nepotism laws on books now.
Madam Chair.
Hang on. Representative Fernandez.
I'm just wondering if this is setting up what they classically call two classes of persons, unequal treatment. By permitting legislators to hire relative during the session part-time basis, but not given the same ability to permanent staff, maybe the attorney on the staff.
Well, I guess I'm bringing this up because I have a senator who feels very, very strongly that this is absolutely the wrong thing to do, that no nepotism under any circumstances. He is absolutely adamant about it. It's why nepotism appeared in this bill. We struggled in the Senate side to try to open up nepotism, but this particular senator feels that Senator Kelly feels very, very strongly about it, thinks I'm absolutely wrong to do this, that the public's going to come down on me, that the bill will be considered no good if we open it up this way, but I still felt like it was anti-woman, and I wanted to bring it to the committee.
Well, it makes logical sense what you're saying. Again, the question is, are we indeed setting up an unequal situation that gives us a problem?
Representative,
let me ask just in terms of comparing it to the rest of state government, what is the status of nepotism laws in state government? I think you worked on a bill this last year. Would that be permitted in the executive branch?
No. As I recall, that a person can be employed not in the same department, for sure not in the supervision of each other.
They can't do the lot because they're working together.
So are you proposing that they only could work
during
for their spouse only during the session?
No.
Did my wife work for Senator Fisher?
No, she can't because it's different houses.
Did my wife work for your amendment for Representative Bennett?
Yes, but not now she can't. Now, right now, your wife can work for Senator Fisher. Currently, the common practice is she could work for Senator Fisher. She can't work for a Representative Bennett in the same house.
My wife works for you.
But what I'm suggesting is, for instance, and I'm going to use Connie Halpert as an example. She's darn good, and she keeps Rick's office. She works in Rick's office. She only works during the session, and she would like to have a stipend for that work.
My wife was to be the administrative aide of the Rules Committee of the House of Representatives.
Senator Justice, I'll give on this.
I think Senator Fink says point. I think that there is a distinction between the permanent people in the executive branch and temporary jobs. Plus, the number of jobs available in the executive branch are so much greater that the opportunities for hire are greater than they are within the legislative branch. And so far as the public is concerned, I remember back to Congressman Rivers and Martha Rivers, and people tried to make something out of that, but the public for many years thought that was wonderful, and they knew she was competent, and that issue was raised, and the people answered it. As Senator Fake says, the people can make that judgment. They did. Both pro and con, Robert. I think you're on the point.
Mr. Berry reads for his language. And Senator Fisher's comments. Go ahead, Bill.
Madam Chairman, I would take the Senate version because the heading is just, both mean the same heading. Relative of is considerably better than an individual who is related to. Otherwise, they're identical. Then at the end of line 29, I would add, but the spouse of a legislator may be employed by the house of which the legislator is a member during the legislative session.
Again, Bill, please.
Yeah, okay. But the spouse of a legislator may be employed by the house in which the legislator is a member during the legislative session.
Oh, wait, hang on. It was Senator Justice and then.
No, I'm
your reasoning seemed to also apply to children, brothers and sisters and such. Any reason why somebody is a spouse, but that's why I got a brother.
Oh, I just really felt sorry for some of the wives who can't come down or come down and have nothing to do or come
well,
here.
Conflict like there is a spouse equivalent that mm-hmm. can work and the spouses.
That's right, and I think the spouses can't, and they're prejudiced against. I think the kids probably have other jobs. I feel very strongly about the spouses. I don't feel strongly about the kids.
This would not allow the employment of my son as a page in the house.
That chair, just another real practical example. Okay, last session, Secretary Two was going to handle this here. She's of a caliber, but I would be very happy to live in my staff and without you feeling any particular property.
She received no compensation at all, and Joyce Petula's been here for 20 years and has never received a dime.
And I'm just thinking in terms of the child of the legislature.
Yeah, but it's your motion. Do you intend to limit it to spouse?
I felt strongly about spouse. I will go with the will of the committee. If you would like to add immediate children in there, then I can live with that. Representative Fernandez?
Chairman, I was reading these languages proposed by Mr. Berman. This appears to really open up the process of criticism. Just on the face of it, read from the sound from to me. I think you're going to find that the constituents not going to understand. I support it, but I just don't think they can understand it.
Following up on this point, again, in our discussion before, I mean, Representative Hoxton earlier suggested, why don't we eliminate the section altogether instead of flagging an exception? Do we need it at all?
And what does that put us?
It puts us, the voters will determine whether we're acting sensibly or not.
I mean, as far as hiring is not.
Yeah, let me ask what the current statute can
be done now.
Never clear here. Never clear. It's custom, and the various wives have asked for a clear delineation one way or the other. Because they just don't feel that custom is good enough. They want it in writing one way or the other. And you asked if some of the staff would testify. There was staff testimony on this about Senator Joseph.
Mr. Barrier.
That would still give a situation which my wife joined my staff.
With the distinction between the legislator and employee legislature. In this year, there's a distinction between the member and the board.
The employee who's being supervised, that would be the spouse.
I'm an employee.
What's the employee? But as I say, in this section, I think the state.
See, you're saying that my wife could work on my office. Mr. Lancaster wants for me to not have his wife work unless she is, if she is supervised by me.
Well, I couldn't hire my wife if I had one.
You couldn't hire your wife if you supervise her.
If I supervise her, I couldn't hire her.
If Senator's wife worked in the office, then he would be
supervisory
capacity. But there's a distinction between the legislator and the individual.
An employee.
Uh-huh. It's not a biggie with me, Joe, but I just bring it up.
Well, it's significant. It's got to be resolved because it makes logical sense. The problem is, how do you do it? To work it so as to not make it a red flag.
I have a way of doing it.
Yes, Senator Jones.
The way I would do it would be to say that a relative of a member of the legislature, follow me on this, but that would be wrong, but a relative of a member of the legislature may not be employed in the House, may not be employed in a permanent position, and distinguish between permanent and temporary positions, which would be another way of doing it.
Theory of that, because permanent and temporary positions have such very firm meaning in state personnel laws.
What do they mean in the legislature? What's the permanent employee of the legislature and the temporary employee?
You get into an area that I consider a problem. A permanent employee, for example, that's clearly a permanent employee of the legislature. How about a staff member that is hired by a committee to served during that legislature. Is that a permanent or a temporary employee? And I would be inclined to think that's a temporary
employee. Even though there are some that are hired only during the legislature that are on permanent status so they can get the benefits.
You have to say a session employee.
There are session
permanent
employees
temporary
who are
because
the
first
temporary and permanent.
Well, could you do this? Could you say that? Madam Chairman, could you say that, through the Chair, Mr. Ferrier, that a relative of a member of the legislature may not be employed in the house in which the legislator is a member, except as a session employee?
Except during the session.
Except during the legislative session.
And that, of course, brought it all.
And that does not do, then we avoid what Mr. Kearns is concerned about flagging this into a major conflagration.
And this does bring in children.
And it covers Mr. Watson's concern. It covers both.
Senator, could you go over that one more time for someone who wasn't quite paying total attention?
I think it would be a relative of a member of the legislature may not be employed in the House in which the legislator is a member, except during the session of the legislature, by an agency of the legislature establishing a or in another House during the session.
Is
that
grammatic? Sentence structure problem.
Relative of a member of the legislature may not be employed in the House of the legislature, the legislator is a member, except during
the legislative session.
During a legislative session, comma, or by an agency of the legislature established under AS 2420, or in the other House during the interim between sessions. It's a little bit awkward, but it gets.
It does, but it's offered up to, because you're coming out the same way. A relative of a member of the legislature may not be employed in the House of the legislature as a member during the legislative session, or by an agency of the legislature established under AS 2420 and then knocked out or another House during the interim between sessions because that's no longer necessary.
You can say a relative of a member of the legislature may not be employed during the interim between sessions, or by an agency of the legislature established under AS 2420.
Oh, that'll do it. That would do
okay.
It. That's good, Justin. Okay. You're pretty good at that.
A relative of a member of the legislature may not be employed, I used to say, by the legislature during the interim between sessions or by an agency of the legislature established under AS 2420.
Madam Chair, this goes far beyond the original language, though. This means that a relative may not be employed anywhere.
No, by the legislature. All right, by the legislature. By the legislature.
On a permanent basis.
Now, what's the agency that you refer to there?
Or by an agency of the legislature, which would have been the
Legislative Council, Legislative Budget Audit, Administrative Regulations Review, and some of that.
Excuse me, could we answer Senator Fisher's objections,
sir? I'm speaking of something other than having to do with the legislature.
Representative Claxton?
Since the proposal is to broaden this so much, it's quite a bit more broad than what we have here. That triggers the question in my mind, why we ever prohibited employment during the interim in the first place. That was Senate language, which I admit the House left in.
Senator Kelly feels, Senator Kelly feels very, very strongly. He said several years ago, there were lots of spouses here, children, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, and it just looked like one big family zoo. And he really took exception to that. And he felt it was wrong. Yes, they all worked and they got paid. And he felt that was wrong. And he felt the public perception thought that we all came down here and that you paid full-time salary to your wife. You got in the legislature and you paid your wife full-time and it was a bad public perception. He thinks it's bad public policy to do that.
That's interim. My question is, why interim?
Why eliminate interim?
Well, you know, presently prohibits employment by the other house during the interim. It lets my spouse work for Senator Joseph's session, but not during the interim.
the only concession we could get out of Kelly, he wanted total prohibition all the way.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
With all due respect to any individual senator, I'm really not sure that we have to be followed by...
No, but I'm just giving you those arguments, and this is why we did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exception